Hi, it's Karen Webster for payments.com, and I'm here today with Jim Greenwell, who is the CEO of Dinal. Jim, thanks for joining me today.
Hi, Karen. Thank you.
So just to level set everyone listening, Dinal is a provider of carrier-integrated mobile commerce solutions and a capability that we're going to talk about in particular related to mobile identity and some breaking news. So, Jim, let's go to the breaking news. You are announcing a global partnership with Orange, which, of course, is one of the world's leading telcos, something like 236 million subscribers. And the partnership is really about your ability to enable mobile number-based ID and authentication. So my question for you is, what problem does this partnership solve for Orange?
Sure. Thanks, Karen. It's a great question and a great way to start it off, not only for Orange, but really for a broad swath of merchants as well as what we call mobile network operators. The problem we're solving is twofold. There's a mobile inconvenience factor where consumers have to input information on what we call a handset or a constrained device, input constrained device. You can imagine typing in a couple hundred different digits on a mobile device, a small mobile device. It gets tedious. It gets irksome. As well, there's a real fraud issue in the marketplace. And we address both those issues. We make it safe for consumers to process by identifying and authenticating that it is indeed the user on the other end. And we also help with form fill or filling out information instead of you inputting it by getting your permission to access the mobile network operator's database and pre-fill information. So very, very powerful stuff. As the market increasingly moves towards mobile devices, many folks in the industry are looking towards the mobile network operators to help them. And if you think about all the things that have been hacked, all the creative ways fraudsters are penetrating the market, we've yet to hear about a breach in the mobile network operator network or in SIM cards quite yet. So we're leveraging all that.
So this isn't as much about solving a problem for the carrier as enabling a convenience factor for the consumer and a fraud protection mechanism for the merchant. Is that right?
It really is. The other way to look at it is the enablement that the carriers are doing is they're leveraging the information and that they have, to enable the merchant as well as provide a service to their consumer. So it strengthens their relationship with end users or subscribers, as they call them, and of course strengthens their relationship with merchants, which they have multi-level relationships with.
So merchants that are providing the sale of digital goods or merchants that are providing the sale of physical goods or both?
It could be that and more. So frankly, we're in contract negotiations with financial institutions where we can validate that it's perhaps Karen or authenticate that it's Karen on the other end of that device. We're also looking at some other creative markets, not just in what I would call e-commerce or financial institutions, but we're doing some very unique marketing type of, for lack of a better term, initiatives. Because think about how when you want to gather information, whether it's at a basketball game, whether it's a subscription to a magazine, whether you want to provision a new account, everybody's doing that on the mobile device these days, and that's going to increase. We can do all of that. We can perhaps provision a phone to operate as a key for a hotel room. And we're in final discussions to do something to that effect. So the applications, if you will, for this sort of service, this sort of capability, are fairly significant.
So I want to talk a little bit about how you're able to do that. And the context of the question that I'm going to ask is, this whole space around using the device to authenticate the consumer is pretty hot because it's obviously one of the ways in which we can authenticate a consumer. But what is particularly unique about your platform's capability that enable you to do that in a way that's different than what other players who say they're doing the same thing are in fact doing?
Great question. And there are a myriad of solutions out there, and we're really one of the only companies, I know of one other, that has the connectivity with the mobile network operators to truly provide the solution. And let's be clear, that really is a key differentiator. There's a lot of technology, a lot of platforms, but what makes this unique is the mobile network operators' desire and willingness to truly have a fraud-free experience for their consumers. And they're also very sensitive about data rights, data privacy, and so they protect those things vigorously and vigilantly. And they've entrusted us to do that. So, you know, it takes consumer consent to do certain things, and we vigorously guard the information of the consumer. And that's what also is a barrier to entry, if you will. Not everybody can go to a carrier and say, let me access your network data. We've proven ourselves. We've been partners with mobile network operators for years now, well over 13 years in some parts. And so we've proven ourselves, and that's a big hurdle to overcome. And so the connectivity to the mobile network operator really enables the solution to happen, and that doesn't get passed out regularly. As I said, we're one of two companies that can do this globally.
And this grew out of your platform's capability in enabling carrier-based billing, which I know is separate and apart from this particular authentication capability. But that's how you developed the relationships and built the trust level. Is that right?
That's exactly right. And so our original DNA was getting connectivity to the carriers to enable consumers to put a charge on their bill. Whether you're buying Facebook credits, whether you're buying an app from Google Play, that was our technology, our platform. But in addition to the technology, we had to negotiate agreements with carriers on a global basis. And so we're connected to over 80 carriers globally. And then our smart folks and products said, you know, the notion of authenticating someone, whether they're doing a purchase, whether they're doing a registration for something, be it a higher education class, whether provisioning a PayPal account, for example, we need to authenticate that it's that person on the other end. We've gotten step one out of the way. We have some connectivity into the networks of the operators. Let's now enhance our current agreements and be able to do things like mobile authentication. So it was a natural expansion for us and a very easy one because we had the trust of the carriers. And I can't emphasize that enough. And not only of what we call the carriers, which is another word for mobile network operators, but we've now piled on a number of other data sources. But at the core, the most important piece is the connectivity with a mobile network operator.
Gotcha. So where have you deployed this solution, and what impact is it having on that particular customer of yours in enabling them to authenticate and have confidence that the consumer taking an action with some sort of payment initiative is actually that consumer?
Sure, and this is a relatively new service. We've launched in the United States with all the major carriers, with the exception of one, and that's we have some what I would call modified connectivity to that carrier because they're not quite ready to launch. But we have all the major carriers, and we've launched with, I think we've made public Western Union, but we've also soft launched with a couple of other folks that we can't discuss, but we're hearing metrics of, for example, on the fraud and risk side, we're mitigating fraud substantially, and we're trying to gather some metrics to showcase that. But we hear numbers as high as for one financial institution, when they did the tests, we saved them $40 million.
Wow.
Yeah, which is significant. And that comment came, hey, had we done this test 6 months ago, validated the users against your data, we would have saved $40 million. That's impactful.
Wow. So help me understand where this capability fits in the flow of payment. Who connects to whom, and how does that all work?
Sure. And I thought you weren't going to ask me about product, but I'll do my best.
just a little bit, high level.
So we have a platform that resides within the network of the carriers. And we take that capability and with a simple RESTful API, or it could even be, you know, white label, we could actually run it to the merchant. It's a simple, you know, API integration. And then all the processing is done within that RESTful API.
Gotcha. So what opportunity do you think this is going to unleash as this becomes integrated more fully into the carriers that have relationships with you as Orange, you know, deploys this on a global basis. Fast forward a year or two from now, give us a sense of how you envision this playing in the market.
Oh, fantastic question. And in fact, we think it could be, not to use that cliche word of disruptive, but we would call it perhaps, I would refer to it more as highly enabling, as I'm sure the stats that you guys research, conversion rates are still relatively low on the mobile device. And by the way, we work for all devices, not necessarily mobile, but the mobile seems to be the focus. Conversions are still low. And the reasons for conversions are plentiful, but people don't want to be hampered with inputting their credit card, inputting a bunch of information on a small device. As well, people are still afraid of the mobile device. There's still fraud associated with it. So if you take those two factors, fast forward 3 or 4 years from now, we think that, we believe firmly that we can change the experience for the consumers and hence guide them towards several different verticals. And that includes, you know, payments vertical, if you will, and validating that it is X person on the other end, and the merchant has a high degree of confidence that our information is correct, and thus making the consumer feel good. We think we can, the hospitality vertical is one that we think we can affect, both in terms of generating new users, new experience, and validating. So it should be impactful across multiple verticals. Anybody using mobile device in any part of the transaction, we think we're going to have a very strong effect on.
Interesting. I would also think that healthcare might be an interesting application, as healthcare payments and authenticating that that person is that person, and the device becomes a repository for that individual, their services, their records. This could also be an interesting use case.
That's exactly right. It's not just in the payments, but validating. When you're discussing that type of sensitive information, the last thing you want to do is get that out in the open air. So one of several checks, very much we're in discussions with companies to say, hey, we can validate that this is this person on the other end.
So this really is intended to be a very pervasive, global, carrier-based capability that just plugs into a variety of use cases. When a consumer presents a mobile device for any kind of commerce activity, is that sort of the gist of this?
It is slightly different, but I think the tone of your question is the exact right one. If you think about, just plug in, as you said, if you think about the challenges of both purchasing, billing, making payments, as well as registering for things, it's cumbersome. Right. To input all that information to make a payment is cumbersome. And one of the reasons PayPal had a lot of success is it eliminated a lot of the inefficiencies there. You signed up, you had a password, and it made it very convenient. It didn't necessarily introduce a new concept of payment, but a more convenient one. And that's effectively what we're doing. If you think about it, when you sign up for a postpaid account, what have you done? Well, you've given the mobile network operator, the carrier, a bunch of information. Your name, your address, your social security number for a credit check. They know a lot of information on you, and they guard that vigorously. We're simply tapping. So when you've done that, you've effectively registered, whether you're registering for a payment type, whether you're registering for a service, or whether you're registering for the ability to provide that information somewhere else. Very powerful, and we've overcome that step. And, of course, the carriers protecting that data will ask for consumers' consent when we do types of registrations. But consumers like that. Consumers don't want their information just popping on there. They want to control it. And all those factors we're leveraging.
So historically, there's been a resistance to inserting the mobile operator into the flow of commerce. And, you know, at least in the U.S., I know not necessarily the case outside of the U.S., there's a lot of roadkill in attempts to do that. This is a little more subtle, but is it the same sort of idea where the operator is somehow inserted into the process, or is it simply just a capability that is extended as part of the customer being a customer of that mobile operator.
Yeah, well said. And I think because of the challenges in the past, that's really what we're overcoming. We're aggregating multiple carriers around the globe to the service, standardizing it. And instead of a merchant having to have a contract with a Verizon, with an AT&T, with an Orange in Europe, they can come through us and on a global basis, us provide a standardized service that leverages the carriers. It's not that you're inserting the carrier into the process. You're really leveraging the information that the carrier can provide. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yeah, it does. So what are the economics of the relationship? How do you make money on this particular service?
Sure. It's really use-based, right? So with the end merchants, we typically charge a one-time fee up front, you know, for setup and covering of costs to, you know, deploy the service. And then it's a small percentage or a small piece of every transaction. And it really does come into the cents, if you will, the pennies.
So
it's a recurring revenue model.
Gotcha. And everybody loves those. Well, at least those who are the receiving end of the recurring risk model love
those.
Well,
think about it. There's a couple of models. There is the upfront customer acquisition. If you want to acquire a new customer on the mobile device, of course, you're going to pay a premium for that because that's a problem that hasn't really been solved well. On the back end, when you're doing fraud and risk mitigation, those are high volume type of transactions, and you're not going to pay a premium for that vis-a-vis what you would for acquiring a new customer for their lifetime value. So those are going to be less, if you will.
Well, Jim, it was really great to get the perspective of the CEO on this significant announcement. Thanks very much for giving us a little bit of your time today. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you, Karen.